Hello everyone, welcome to the first episode of season 2 of the Grown Up Girls podcast. So excited to have you here. I'm really, really glad that you've come back to listen to more. So today's guest is the lovely Katie. We are going to be discussing sobriety, her relationship with alcohol and her alcoholism. And yeah, we're getting some really deep stuff here. So it is a little bit of a trigger warning. If anything is going to upset you to do with alcoholism, then I suggest that you turn away from this podcast episode. However, it's a really, really informative, interesting and very raw episode. So I really, really hope you enjoy it. Hello, welcome back to the Grown Up Girls podcast. So today's guest is Katie. Katie, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So Katie is actually on the podcast today and I was just talking to her. I'm really excited about her being on actually, because I have a bit of an invested interest in this topic also, and it is about sobriety. We're going to get into it. Katie, how long have you been sober for?
18 months tomorrow.
Wow, that's good.
So I know, great timing to be on the podcast. I'm at a big sober milestone tomorrow.
Yeah, that's amazing. So let's go into it. Let's just dive straight into it. Obviously, you're sober for a reason. What were those reasons? What kind of brought you to think, do you know what, I just can't do this anymore?
So I've always been like, I was always a big drinker. I started drinking probably when I was about 17. I had my first drink when I was 15 or 16, but I didn't fully drink properly until I was 17. And I was just a massive binge drinker, party girl. I worked in the nightlife when I was at university. I went to uni in Newcastle. So if you don't know, there is a massive drinking culture up there. And it suited me perfectly because I just really love to drink and party. I've always loved nightlife and I still love nightlife now, like even though I don't drink, I think the whole like performance of going out, I just love and like the glamour of it and the fun of it. But when I finished university, I came back home and thought that my drinking would slow down, but actually the opposite happened and my drinking just became more and more. Not in terms of how many times a week, just how much I was drinking on the Friday, Saturday increased. And my behaviour was just getting much, much worse. So I was just making like, just putting myself in like really difficult situations, blacking out, not remembering things, waking up and thinking like covered in bruises, like what the hell, I had no phone. And I was just a nightmare. And also my relationships and friendships were starting to be affected by things that I was doing when I was drunk. And most of the time, honestly, that I didn't remember. Mm-hmm. So I basically tried to do a couple of sober Octobers, dry Jans, but I just found them so difficult. Like I just really, really struggled, which actually kind of made me feel a bit, it kind of made me realize that probably I did have a problem with alcohol. Like if I was finding it difficult to give up, you know, for that short period of time, then maybe I should look at my alcohol consumption and what the real root cause was of my drinking. And also drinking started to really negatively affect my mental health. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize at the time that my mental health was an actual thing. I just thought that I was hungover, anxiety type thing. But actually I look back now with a clear head and know that was anxiety, depression. And so for so many years I had anxiety and depression. I didn't know I had anxiety and depression, which is a really weird thing to experience, because you just start to believe that those sorts of things are who you are. Mm-hmm. And then that really seeped into sort of like my self-worth, self-confidence, self-esteem. Those sorts of things were really negatively affected as well. So in the summer of 2018, I decided to go sober for 3 months because I hit a rock bottom. And in the sort of sober world, a rock bottom is basically like the lowest point in your drinking career. So it's where people go, oh, I hit a rock bottom and I decided to stop. But people talk about a rock bottom as if there was only one. Whereas for me, there was quite a lot. Like I had a lot of rock bottoms emotionally and sort of physically in terms of like my behaviors. So this particular time, my drinking was just out of control, and I blacked out at a party, don't remember anything. I woke up and I was just like crippled with like shame and anxiety. And I basically just decided that day that I needed to make a serious change. So my dad is actually sober. He is 33 years sober, because
wow,
he is
33 years.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, goodness. 33 years. Yeah. So he's an alcoholic, and so he's been in AA for 33 years. And my brother is actually sober as well, 4 years. And then there's me, 18 months. So sobriety and alcoholism are things that are sort of rife in our family. Yeah. And to be honest, alcoholism is a hereditary disease. So it's no surprise that that all of us have struggled with alcohol. Yeah. I know some people do argue that it's not a hereditary disease, but for me and my family, it's kind of blindingly obvious that it is for us.
Yeah. And I think if maybe not alcohol, I don't really know that, but I've noticed in my family, addiction, like that kind of addictive mental state, we all have it in my family. And again, it kind of runs down with the alcohol line as well. So yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So that's, wow, so you've done so well. Like 18 months is a very long time. Like I was saying to you earlier, I'd done like 6 weeks and I was just chomping at the bit. But I think it's a different level, isn't it? To actually saying you're going to stop to I'm going to try and have a couple of months off is like,
yeah,
it's different, I find.
It is very different. And that's such a good point, Molly, because that is the whole point. Like when I did that 3 months, I went into that 3 months with the mindset of I'm doing 3 months. Mm-hmm. So when it came to the end of the 3 months, even though my life was so much better than it was when I was drinking, I still went back to it.
Yeah.
Because I was 23 at the time. I couldn't wrap my head around being sober forever. And the thought of forever is very scary. No matter how old you are, you know, trying to go sober, it doesn't matter, forever is very scary. But my mindset going into that 3 months was a little bit off. And I think that is the problem as well with these Sober Octobers, Dry Jams. They're a brilliant thing, and they're great at raising awareness around sobriety and alcohol awareness. But my issue with that is that sometimes I hear people talking about Sober October and Dry Jam like, oh, can't wait for February.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not really the best way to go into it, because you're not going to get the most out of it personally yourself if you're looking at it like a prison sentence. Mm-hmm. Because sobriety is an amazing thing. Like, it really has changes so many people's lives. It gives you more time, more money, better sleep, you know, better relationships. But when you go into a dry jam, like, oh, just get me to Feb, you don't really reap the benefits as much as you should do. Yeah, so I think mindset is a massive part of it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Just to go back a little bit to what you said at the start about relationships, and it was starting to affect some of your relationships. Did anybody ever say anything to you, family or friends, anybody ever say, oh, Katie, I don't know, you're just drinking a bit too much? Or was it kind of you just came to your own realization?
No, it's always, you're always the last to know. I think that you've got an alcohol problem. Like, everyone around me knew before I knew. And I did have friends, and never boyfriends, actually, on reflection right now. I never had a boyfriend that like told me, whoa, you need to chill.
That's really interesting, actually.
No, but I did have friends, and my family, of course. Mm. I had friends that sort of said, you know, that needs to be addressed, or like maybe just calm down, like slow down, or just like cut back, drink water. But I tried everything. Like, a moderation is just not something I can do. And I try, because I've tried it. I used to set alarms on my phone for nights out, like, stop drinking now. Yeah. You know, like, have a glass of water between every drink, eat before you go, leave before 12, only drink spirits, only drink singles, don't drink wine. Like, it's just so many rules. And all those rules I broke because I can't drink normally. And that inevitably obviously led me to where I am today. I just have in my brain and body I can't drink alcohol. I just can't. Yes. And so, and it's the only thing I can't do. So that's fine.
Yeah. But look how much better off you are for it now as well.
Like, yeah, yeah.
At the start of your journey, how hard was it?
Very. It's very, very hard.
Yeah.
But it's very, very worth it. And, you know, I think I struggled at the beginning when I was 23 and I did, because what happened was I did the 3 months off and then I drank again for 10 months and every problem I ever had came back sort of tenfold. And I found I was sort of settling in my life because I was just tired, hungover and drinking. And I was just in this mundane routine of like work, drink, like, and my life was just like boring. Like I just was in this boring cycle. And, but then I went to London on a girls' weekend, long story short, got very drunk and ended up slipping over and banging my head on the floor. And I knocked myself unconscious and the paramedics came and stuff. Luckily, I didn't go to A&E, like I didn't have to. But I, the next day, woke up and, oh my God, like, obviously on top of a hangover, but like the shame and anxiety and like guilt as well of like ruining my friends' nights and just like making an arse of myself again, like breaking all those promises to myself again. And I was just so... like just sick and tired of it.
Yeah
So I know people can relate for the whole anxiety thing because you don't have to have an alcohol problem to have experienced anxiety, like everyone gets it. So and then that weekend was actually my last drink, so that was the 13th of November 2019.
Wow. And obviously you know that happened, you started that when the world was normal. And it carried on when the world wasn't normal. And I know I speak for a lot of people. I became very reliant on alcohol during the first lockdown. It was sunny. It was we were literally sitting in the garden every day. Honestly, if I could have counted, I reckon I would have drunk 50 bottles of Prosecco, maybe, like just so much. And I know I'm not the only one who did that. So how did your kind of willpower, I guess, like to stay, did you feel you'd gone past that point, or were you like tempted in lockdown?
I was never tempted in lockdown because I, to be honest, I was so stressed during the lockdown. I had a lot of like personal things going on. Basically, I was living in Australia right before the pandemic and I lost my job and everything in Australia, my visa, everything. And I had to come home within 24 hours before they shut the border. So I was incredibly stressed and I was only about 12 weeks sober at that point. But I had the mindset of, if I drink, it's only going to make it worse. So imagine how you feel right now, which was the most stressed I've ever been. I was like Googling, Molly, symptoms of a nervous breakdown, because I actually do think I was having a nervous breakdown. But I just knew that if I drank, that's the only thing that was gonna absolutely definitely make it worse.
Yeah, and it might make it feel better for literally 2 hours until you wake up the next morning.
Exactly, that's it. And that's what they say, like, you know, it's temporary relief.
Yeah.
And then all of your problems, your anxieties and everything come back tenfold. You've still got to deal with that. You're just putting pause on the shit you've got to deal with. Like, you may as well just deal with it head on. And so, and you know, I look back at that time and I'm like, wow, I would never have been able to actually get through that if I was drinking. I don't know how I would have done it if I was hungover. I just don't know. So, but you know, it's hard. You know, like you said, the sun was out and it was like, wasn't the first lockdown like kind of exciting?
It actually was,
like,
yeah.
It actually was, yeah. And I know it's really sad to say, because obviously it was a really sad, scary time, but
no, I totally agree. Yeah. I absolutely, selfishly loved the first lockdown.
Yes.
But isn't it, just going back to the sun's out, why as Brits, and I don't know if this is just Brits or whether it's Aussies or whoever, as soon as the sun's out, it's like, oh, let's have a drink.
Yeah, but you know what's really funny is the sun comes out and it's, oh, let's get the Prosecco out. But then when it's winter, it's, oh, let's have a mulled wine.
Yeah.
There's always a reason. There's always an excuse to have a drink, whether it's a good day, a bad day, an average day, a celebration, you know, a birth, a funeral, whatever. People get the bevy out. And it's because it's so ingrained in our culture and our society, and massively in Australia as well. I mean, I looked at Australia and I thought, you know, massive fitness culture, like really into that sort of thing, which is what I'm into as well. So I thought, oh, moving to Australia would be great to be sober. But oh, wow, I was wrong. Yeah. Like the drinking culture there is arguably bigger than the UK from what I saw.
Really?
Because the sun's out all the time. Mm. And everyone is so laid back there. The culture is very chilled. You have a few beers. It's like very like that. But then, you know, sometimes I have followers on Instagram that are from like European countries and they're like, I remember I got a DM once saying, why can't you just enjoy alcohol? It's such a lovely pastime here in Italy. And I thought, see, that's just not the way us Brits view it. It's not like a lovely, sophisticated thing. I think we think it is. We want it to be. But then it just, all bets are off after the first, you know, few glasses, isn't it?
How much better do you think the UK would be if we didn't have such a drinking culture? Do you think it would be a bit of a nicer place to live?
I don't know, because I have a lovely life here, but I
just sometimes wonder, because I just think I love the UK so much, but, you know, it feels like there's no difference between having one glass and then getting absolutely smashed. And that just seems like, I feel like it's just a cultural thing.
It is a cultural thing, but if you like a drink, it doesn't matter what country you're in, you'll find a drink.
Yeah, it's very true.
You know, like it's down to the person. Because there's millions of people who live in the UK who don't drink.
Yeah.
So it just depends what pocket you sit in and what you choose to do with your life. Because, you know, all of my friends are big drinkers. And I was like massively immersed in that party scene when I was younger, but I did it. So like you can have both. So I always say that, like people message me, I'm like, seriously, if you saw me 3 years ago.
Yeah. Were your friends supportive when you said I'm going sober? Were they supportive, or did you have a couple of people that tried to drag you back into that world?
On the whole, everyone was really, really supportive. Of course, there's always at the start some people that are like, oh, you know, just have one, or come on, loosen up a bit, have fun, like don't be so boring. But really, it's for me anyway, it never came from like a malicious place. It was just like people don't want you to feel left out. Mm-hmm. So if they love you, they're like, they think they're saying the right thing by being like, oh no, you're fine, you weren't that bad. And it's like, actually, no, I was that bad. But they're just trying to do it because they don't want you to feel isolated. And also, you know, similar to mental health with alcoholism or having alcohol dependency or drinking too much, whatever you want to call it. Some people, you know, a lot of people, they don't really know what to say because it's kind of a topic that's a bit taboo in a way, and they don't really know how to word it. So that by them saying, oh, you weren't that bad, it's them trying to sort of help you in a weird, twisted way.
Yeah. No, I totally know what you mean. I don't know if you've had this as a female, but have you had the whole, I'm not drinking. I guess now you say I don't drink, but when you was, I'm not drinking, did you ever get the, are you pregnant?
Yeah.
Because I get that all the time if I'm not drinking. And it doesn't irritate me because I think it's a natural kind of, you know, it's a natural thing. And if you're not drinking, most people, and if you are a boozer, you know, there's usually only one reason why. Sometimes I'm just like, no, I just don't want to drink. Like, I just don't fancy it.
Yeah, but that again is just an example of like how ingrained it is in our society. You know, like you have to be growing a human being inside your body for that to warrant you not drinking on a night out. Like, it's actually mad when you think about it like that.
Yeah.
Like, you have to have this huge life-changing thing happen to you for you to just want to drive home.
Yeah.
Like, it's, and I did have that quite, obviously never now, obviously, because I'm like,
all over socials, like promoting the sober lifestyle. But yeah, I definitely had it in the beginning. Definitely, yeah. And I also had as well, like, oh, I'm not drinking. Are you an alcoholic? It's like, whoa, that's a really personal question, because, you know, right now I do identify as an alcoholic. I know I'm an alcoholic. I do AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. But back then, you know, at 23, I didn't know if I was an alcoholic or not. And it was a really scary, like, big question to have. And, for, you know, it's always the people that you don't really know that well, friends of friends, they're like, are you pregnant? Are you an alcoholic? And I just always used to think, like, whoa, that's a really invasive question.
That's a really, really personal question. I don't know many people that would use that, but you know, with the whole the word alcoholic, wrongly or rightly, I don't know, but I think it does come with a bit of a tag to it, doesn't it? And a lot of people, you know, it comes as a negative a lot of the time. Do people also admit they're an alcoholic? But I think to admit that's one of the most bravest things you can do, because it does come with a label of, I don't know, shame, or to admit that is an incredible thing. I think anyone should be really proud of to admit that.
Oh, well, it's, I don't know. I guess I used to think that you're right. There is a huge stigma attached to the word alcoholic. And, you know, myself, I did it myself. I was very ignorant about alcoholism, AA, any sort of thing like that. To me, honestly, it was like a weird cult. Like, I just didn't get it. And I was like, oh my God, you have to be like some down and out homeless guy on the street, shooting drugs, like drinking vodka out of a brown paper bag to qualify as an alcoholic. But, you know, I've learned so much on this journey about myself and my drinking patterns, behaviors, but mainly what it's taught me is about my mindset and my thought patterns around drinking, but also not drinking. Like, if you have an alcoholic brain, you just think differently to other people, and you don't know that unless you sort of learn, you know, about it. But with alcoholism, there's a sliding scale. It's not black and white. There's actually 9 different types of alcoholic. So yeah, so my alcoholism will manifest very differently in me than it would the down and out guy on the street that, yeah, blah, blah, blah. So so it really has been a massive learning curve for me. Like I said, my dad is an alcoholic, 33 years sober, which is, my God, he's like such a legend. I just, what a man. And I just feel so blessed to have had him in my life. But my first year of sobriety, I never even used AA. I didn't identify as an alcoholic. I just thought, I'm sick of being hungover. My mental health is shit. And I need a break. Like, I need a way out. But it's, you know, everyone's journey is different. Some people go straight into AA. Other people never, ever use it. I've got so many sober friends that never use it. And that's absolutely fine. Like, that's great. Whatever works for you. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. So if anyone's listened to this now who feels like they might have a little bit of a problem and they do want to address it, what would you say to them? Like, where do you start?
One day at a time. Okay. Don't worry so much about the future. You know, when people stop drinking, they're like, oh no, I can't stop drinking because it's my birthday in 6 months.
And so it's like, true. It's so true.
Yeah. It's so true. It's so true. I know, because I did it myself. I've said all these things to myself, and like, people get very worried as well about what other people will say. And I did that as well. I was like, oh my God, I remember thinking, like, what will she say? Who was like a friend of a friend of a friend who I once went to a party with and was like paralytically drunk in front of her. And I had to pull myself back. I was like, do you care? Like, she's not going to say anything. Like, and also people it's always a bigger deal in your head than it is in anyone else's. You know, the person that you think about the most in the day is yourself. Everyone on the planet does the same thing. So there's no one else that's thinking about it as much as you. Give yourself a break. Take it a day at a time. And that is really the key to my sobriety. You know, I stopped drinking when I was 24 years old. if I'd have thought to myself, right, that's it now forever till the day I die, I wouldn't have done it.
No.
You just have to get to tomorrow. And also, you know, when I was just saying then about people saying, I've got a birthday in 6 months, what I always say to people is, yeah, but by then, you will have 6 months of sobriety under your belt. Mm. You'll know how mega you'll feel, how amazing, like, on your look, you'll feel on the inside, how much more confident you'll be, and you'll smash it. You won't even want to drink at said event, whatever event it is. Yeah, so the fear of the future, I think, is the thing that stops people the most. Mm-hmm. So try not to get bogged down by that. And also, you can do it. You can. I believe in you.
Yeah, definitely. You never, now, 18 months on, is temptation for a drink just not even a thing?
Yeah, not really, no. Right. I rarely think about alcohol. Mm-hmm. If I do think about alcohol, it's usually when I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Or thirsty on like a Friday night. And because that was my drinking pattern, was like a Friday night, Saturday night. But, you know, very rarely. I have different things that I enjoy now. I have different hobbies and interests, different coping mechanisms that are more authentic to who I actually am and that actually help me better in the long run. You know, like having a bath, eating chocolate, calling a friend. You know, these things are much more wholesome and they help you on a deeper level than like cracking open the rosé.
Have you inspired any of your friends to do the same, or are they still all drinking?
Oh, that's a good question. So no, I think in the beginning, people were like, oh, actually, yeah, I think I'll not stop, but you like cut back or look at their relationship with alcohol, moderate a bit better. But actually one of my friends, she's going through some health issues at the moment. So she's had to go sober. The doctor has told her you're not allowed to drink alcohol. And it's been really lovely because she's sort of messaged me a few times saying, you know, I'm not an alcoholic by any means or anything like that, but I have had to stop through medical reasons. And your page, my Instagram page, has really helped her feel like it's okay and that it's empowering, and she feels amazing for it. She suffered with a little bit of anxiety as well, and that's kind of disappeared. So
I second that. I think your page is absolutely amazing, by the way. I'll put Katie's page down in the show notes, but honestly, I started following you probably 3-4 weeks ago, mainly because I'm the same. I'm really trying to, you know, drop alcohol again due to health reasons.
Right.
So as soon as I saw your page, I love it. And the fact that you've got videos up of you having still such a good time with no alcohol, I was like, you know what? Actually, I can do that.
Yes, you can.
I second that. I think your page is brilliant and I'd advise anyone to follow you. I really do.
Oh, thank you so much. That really means a lot. Yeah. So it's usually just... Oh, sorry, go on.
No, sorry, you say what you're going to say.
No, I was just going to say it's usually just videos of me like dancing around in my bedroom, isn't it?
I love it. I love it. Another thing I really want to touch on is something I've found even the last 6 weeks, and I find it so frustrating, and I'm sure you find it even more frustrating, is the lack of alcohol-free options in pubs, bars, nightclubs, things like that. Like, at best, you can get a cider.
Yeah, or a Beck's Blue.
Yeah,
I know. But you know, it's weird. Over the last year, it seems, and I don't know whether it's just because I am like obviously immersed in like the sober world now, but I do see a lot more like cool brands coming up, because last time it was just like the big beer manufacturers doing like a little alcohol-free option for the sober people. But now it seems like there's loads of amazing, cool, innovative brands that are popping up all over the place. And you know, it's not just beers and wines now, it's like spirits and mocktails and Proseccos and champagnes. And it's so great to see, because for people, alcohol-free options are amazing for people who have alcohol, you know, issues, but also people that are just like we said before, pregnant or have medical issues or whatever. So it's so much more accessible for people, but those brands are yet to be filtered into the pubs, bars, restaurants and stuff. You can buy them online or on Amazon, which is great, and drink them from home, but I think there is a massive market for that, definitely, to be more available for people.
Yeah, huge. I mean, I literally thought about saying to my local pub, like, can you just stock this? Because I actually, again, I didn't really know many non-alcohol brands, but as soon as I went to the page, I was like, oh my God, there's this. I didn't even realize there was a good, because like, a few people have said no Secco to me before, and I've tasted it, and it tastes like shit.
I can't drink that, Molly. It literally makes me heave.
I know, it's disgusting.
I don't get it. I get it.
It literally tastes like dishwater. But as soon as I went onto Katie's page, I was like, oh my God, I didn't even know. Because you say about that naughty, is it?
Oh, naughty app is, oh, chef's kiss. So good. I love them so much. I've been so lucky to work with them, actually, because they were like, they still are. I don't know why I just said were. They still are the best alcohol-free, Prosecco-y, champagne-y type thing that I've tried, because it's the driest. Where these companies go wrong, like No Secco, is it's just like glorified fizzy apple juice. And it's just so like saccharine and sweet and horrible. It leaves like fuzz over your teeth when you've drank it. It's
and
gross.
I always feel like they're really flat. Like there's never enough bubbles. Like I'm always where's the bubbles?
Yeah, and it comes out like yellow. And you're like, what? It looks like fizzy wee. And I'm like, no. Anyway, so Naughty App is amazing. And then... and, you know, it's so discreet as well, because it looks like a very sophisticated bottle, because that's half the battle as well, is you don't want to turn up to a party if you're being discreet about your sobriety, especially in the early days when people are quite self-conscious about it, in case they get any backlash or whatever. If you turn up and you're, you know, like with your bottle of Tropicana, it's just like sober written on your head. Whereas if you take that Naughty App or whatever, you just fit straight in.
So funny that you say that, actually, because I've been having this exact thought. So we've got a party on Saturday night and everyone be drinking. I know they will be. And I just want to stay sober because I just don't fancy it. I'm just not in the mood. I'm like, at the minute, I'm at the level where I'm okay with one or two, but anything else, like, it's just not worth it for me. So I was thinking, what am I going to drink? What am I going to drink? And my husband said, what are you going to drink on Saturday night? You know, because people might, you know, ask you again if you're pregnant, and I can't bother to go through that conversation.
Yeah.
Which is just stupid, but I just can't be bothered.
Yeah, no. It's
and enough. I was like, oh, probably non-alcoholic Copperbergs. And he was like, I thought, oh, but they do say 0% and they've got a different colour label. And
what
am I going to do? But I think you've actually just inspired me. I'm going to order some of that Naughty App tonight, actually.
You should. Yeah, get some Naughty App. And honestly, once everyone has had a few drinks, what I've noticed is if someone clocks it, they're like, oh, what's that? And I'm like, oh, I'm not drinking. And then they're like, oh, can I try it? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And they're like, oh my God, that's amazing. And like, you end up like spreading the joy of the alcohol-free options. And you really can get creative. And that's why I feel really grateful to be sober in this generation, because it feels like the start of something new, like this sober, curious movement of people who are just sick of being hungover, which is a fair enough reason to stop. So it's great that we have these options to kill the hangover. Nobody's got time for that.
Definitely. Yeah. If any pub owners or bar owners are listening to this, please just get some.
We are begging you.
Yeah, we're begging you for some alcohol-free options. I don't even care if it's the same price. I don't care. I just want something nice to drink that isn't a J2O. And also, any non-alcoholic brand, alcohol-free brands that are listening to this, I'm sure there, I don't know if there will be any, you've got to just keep gifting them all to Katie, because she's the one who is like inspiring everyone to drink all these things. So. It is a struggle. It really is. Like, but it's, again, it comes back to that culture of it shouldn't be a struggle to just say you're not drinking. It shouldn't be a problem, but it just is.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of the time it is a problem, because you not drinking bounces back on those that are, and people don't like people not drinking because it highlights their drinking. And you know, I've had quite a lot of times people say, once they were a bit drunk, oh, are you judging me because I'm like this, and like, are you, and it's like, hun, you look gorgeous compared to what I would have looked like if I was you right now. Like, that, and that's amazing as well about the sober community and not drinking, is that you have an amazing amount of empathy and understanding for other people. You will not meet one judgmental sober person, you know, about others that drink. It just, you you can't be judgmental about people's drinking and be sober at the same time. It just doesn't compute, because you've been there and there's a reason why you've stopped. So I think it's definitely more in the drinker's head than yours. Yeah. About that sort of thing. Yeah,
that's a really important thing to say, because I've had that as well, and I've said that before 100% to people that aren't drinking. I'm like,
oh, so did I. Yeah, so did I when I was drinking, like, oh, don't be a bore.
Yeah.
Yeah, but really it was because I wanted a drinking partner.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it was selfish nothing about reason. Them. Yeah. It is, yeah. Yeah, yeah, definitely.
It's a really, it's really hard, and I totally admire you for everything that you're doing as well to speak up about it, because there is so, God, I mean, I don't know the statistic, but there must be so many alcoholics out there that are just so in denial about the fact they actually are an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And not I even think people that are alcoholics, but even people that definitely have a drinking problem. Like, yeah. It's just,
so alcohol dependency or alcohol reliance or just drinking too much. But I think the reason why people don't get help is because of the stigma around alcoholism. This is just my personal opinion. Because of this massive stigma, people don't want to, you know, only back in the day, the only real organization that could help people who wanted to stop drinking was AA. And then obviously with that comes the title alcoholic, you know, you have to admit that you're an alcoholic, and people didn't want to do that. But again, what's amazing about this generation, my generation, our generation, is you don't have to say I'm an alcoholic. You know, you can get sober coaching. You can just follow people like me on Instagram and DM me and have support that way. And, you know, you can do AA, or you can join sober forums. You know, there's an amazing, there's loads, but there's an amazing one. A girl called Tori runs it in America, called the Retired Party Girl. And you pay like $10 a month and you have all these resources and these virtual meetups every month with all sober people. And like, you don't have to, you know, sit round in the circle and say, hi, I'm an alcoholic. You don't have to do that. But for some people, millions of people, AA saves lives. It does. Yeah. But you don't have to go that route if you don't feel you are that severe. So it's an amazing time to go sober.
Because there's
so many resources out there to help you. And again, another amazing thing about the sober world is that everyone actually wants you to get better. Everyone wants you to get well. Everyone is so encouraging and positive, and it's just such a blessing. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Just one thing I want to touch on as well. I actually saw this on an influencer's Instagram story the other day. They were doing a poll, and they said that one of the questions was, if your future partner was sober, would you still be with them? And it was so interesting, right? I got to it so late, and it was like 80% said no. And I was like, oh my God. So in the question of, I don't know what your date, like if you're dating somebody or if you're in a relationship or anything like that, but have you ever had that where somebody goes, oh, I don't know, because you're sober?
Yeah. Wow. That's so interesting. That's actually really shocked me. Like, wow. Yeah. No. So basically, when I very first got sober, I had a boyfriend and I was with him for 2 years. A year of our relationship, I was drinking, and the second year of our relationship, I was sober. We broke up at the start of this year, but it was nothing to do with my sobriety or anything like that. He was so supportive of my sobriety. And to be honest, if anything, it improved our relationship, because I look back and a lot of our, not problems, because we never had problems, that's a bit of a heavy word, but if we ever had like tiffs or little arguments or whatever, it was always when we were drunk. We never had little tiffs or arguments when we were sober. So when I stopped drinking, obviously that rubbed off on him, and he hardly drank. So we never had those tiffs or arguments anymore. And we ended up doing really great, wholesome activities together and like really bonding sober. Because the other thing as well is, and the other thing with it is that I actually realized that I was making him drink more. And it was only on reflection, like when I was sober, I'd be like, oh, you're not having a drink? He's like, no, I'm not bothered. I'm like, really? Oh, it must have been me that was like, oh, let's get a bottle of wine. Oh, let's do you know?
Yeah.
So actually, he basically was sober as well.
Yeah. He went out with the lads and, you know, had those big, like, boys' nights. But when it was just me and him, like, date night, he just wouldn't drink because he wasn't bothered. So yeah, if anything, it positively impacted our relationship. However, when I went sober the very first time in 2018, I was single and I went sober dating, which is something that I'm yet to do now that I'm single. And I'll probably go on sober dates in Bali, beach dates. But I can honestly say I've never had a bad experience sober dating. Because I think people actually admire it and they respect it. And they're just like, oh, cool.
Yeah, it's a sign of strength as well, isn't it? Like, you know, our willpower and everything, I think. So,
yeah, I think people just think, I wouldn't say so much willpower, just because willpower is very good in the beginning, maybe like the first few weeks. But then willpower, it's like the gym, willpower very quickly disappears. You've got to find a workout routine you enjoy. And that's what keeps you going to the gym. It's the same with sobriety. You've got to find tools, tactics, hobbies, interests that keep you sober, support groups that keep you sober that you enjoy, because otherwise you'll just go back to drinking. Mm-hmm. And I think it's sort of a similar analogy in terms of the gym. But people find it, the strength part, like you said, is spot on, because people always say to me, like, whatever it is in your life, for me it was alcohol, but it could be anything, you know. People go through so many different things in their lives, but for you to have the self-awareness and like the self-respect to pull yourself out of a really dark spot or something that wasn't serving you anymore, regardless of what it is, that is a massive sign of strength. So people often admire it.
Yeah, no, I can totally see why. Oh, wow, this has been such an interesting chat. Thank you so much for coming on.
No, thank you so much for inviting me. Thank you. And I'm sorry I sort of messed around the time. Like, I was supposed to do this last week. Sorry about that. But thank you so much for having me.
No, not at all. One thing I do, just as we're going to leave the podcast, I just ask you one last question. And that is, what would you tell your younger self?
Oh, my God, that's such a good question. I would tell myself to give yourself a break and to know that you actually can do anything you want to do. Get out of your own way, stop self-sabotaging, and that you are so, so loved. I didn't believe that one time. And you're a badass bitch.
Yes, love it.
You're growing, hun. You're growing, thriving and jiving, as I always say. I'm thriving and jiving. You can do it.
Yeah, love it. That is brilliant advice. Thank you so much, Katie, for coming to the Grown Up Girls podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'll leave everything down below. Also, what I do want to get from you after this podcast is a list of good alcohol-free options. So yes, I'll put them also down below in the show notes. Thank you, Katie.
I'll give you some good quitlet as well. Books about stopping drinking alcohol. Yes. That's really, really helpful. So I'll send them to you too.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Cool. Thank you. Bye.